Good morning. So good to be home. Just yesterday, we were driving around Brea and just saw all the places that, you know, our kids grew up. And, you know, I still have family that lives here, my wife's family. So this really is home. So if you've never met, and we've never met before, just consider me your crazy cousin from North Carolina. And you say, crazy, you'll find out why in just a few minutes. But I just want to quickly show you a picture of my family. Some of you, the last time you saw them, they were a little different. And so now they've grown. And we have our 14-year-old daughter. Our son turns 12 next week. And then we have a 9-year-old. And we are doing well. We still love Jesus, still serving him, still on fire. And so just be encouraged that when people are sent out from here, so many times we just level up. And we're still partnered together. And it was awesome to have our pastors, Jerry and Kimberly, with us. They are our pastors. I told them they're going to be our pastors till they stop breathing or we stop breathing. So one way or another, they'll always be our pastors. Don't you love Pastor Jerry and Kimberly? And just, yeah, let's thank God for them. I also have to give honor to Pastor Carl and Terry because they also trained us and had many good conversations when Lily and I got engaged. Lily is my wife. When we got engaged, Terry McCauley just looked at us and she said, don't mess it up. And then that was just like, okay. I have told many people those same words. So I learned a lot. I learned a lot from them. I just want to actually start off with a song I asked the team to prepare for because I believe it'll set the tone for the message this morning. And this song just has been really, I mean, I've woken up several weeks now, every morning with it just on me. Like before I open my eyes, it's just there, and that's unusual. So I just feel like the Lord's in the midst of it, but I do feel like it's going to prepare our hearts for this particular message. So Adriana, will you lead us?
Moses stood on a mountain waiting for you to pass by. You put your head over his face, so in your presence he wouldn't die. And all of Israel saw the glory, and it shines down through the age. And now you've called me to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. Then gird up my legs that I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord, your power and grace. I will make it to the end if I can just see your face. David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. In a manger, Messiah was born. Among kings and peasants, and all of Israel saw the glory, and it shines down through the edge. And now you've called me to boldly seek your.
Can you stand with me this morning? Let's just sing this chorus together. Show me your face.
Show me your face, Lord.
One more time, I can make it to the end.
I can make it. I can make it to the end. If I can just see your face. I can make it to the end. If I can just see your face.
Lord, I pray that this morning as we open the Word, that we'd see you. You've chosen your Word to reveal yourself. So even as we've prayed this prayer and song, I pray that you would answer this prayer through the text of Scripture, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak like only you can speak. Move like only you can move. We make room for you today. We say, have your way. Interrupt where interruption is necessary. I pray that every mind and heart would be arrested by you this morning. Every person under the sound of my voice, whether in this room, online, or in overflow, may your mind be fixed on him. May your heart be fixed on him. May every distraction, everything pulling at you, may it desist and cease in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we open our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen? And you may be seated. Awesome. Will you play just here at the beginning here? Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you grab it and turn to Luke chapter 19? Luke chapter 19. And as you turn there, just several weeks ago, we would have celebrated Palm Sunday, and this text really finds us there. But I'm going to focus on maybe an unusual part of this passage this morning, because I feel like so much of what the Lord is doing in the body of Christ is found in this text, and I think we need to take heed to it. I think we need to watch. I think we need to be watchful and prayerful. But I want to read it with you this morning, starting in Luke chapter 19. If you don't have a Bible, no problem. We have it up on the screens for you so you can follow along. But Luke chapter 19, verse 37 says, "Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' At the same time, some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" Verse 41, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you,'" he's talking to Jerusalem, the Jewish people, "'even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation." I just would underscore that they're not the only ones at risk of not knowing the time of God's visitation. And of course, he was prophesying of what would happen just some 40 years after these words left his mouth. Verse 45, "Then he," Jesus, "went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, 'It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And I want to focus on those last two verses there. But before I do, I want you just to notice the context of this and really what the Lord impressed upon my heart, that in the midst of worship, in the midst of haters, the Lord just whispered to me, pay attention to Jesus. And I feel like that's somewhat of a word to many of us, that it's easy, even in church culture, to get distracted by other things, by other voices, by even the good things. And yet in the midst of it, pay attention to him. Where is he moving? What is his attention on? Because many times it wasn't the thing that everyone else was looking at. He had a different attention. He had a different mission. He was set on this. So even him, in the midst of all this worship and all the praise, he wept. Isn't that fascinating? He didn't sit there and like absorb all of it. Oh, thank you, thank you. No, he wept because he knew I'm here for more than this. And you know, I've been in ministry a long time. I've been in church life my whole life. And you know, it's so easy just to get distracted, to get pulled into all the things that come around our somewhat Western mindset of church. And I feel like the Lord is leaning in. And even here, he sets his course like a beeline for the temple, for his house. So in the midst of all his business, of all the things that he had to do, he beelines it for the temple. Different passages put it at different places. In fact, it's believed that this is the second time he actually went to the temple and cleaned it out. The first was early in his ministry. This would have been, of course, at the latter end of his ministry. But he goes to the temple, which is his house. Come on, somebody. He goes to his house. This is his house. And he comes in. And what does he do? It says that he began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. And here's the way that I see that. He began to remove those people who were there for themselves. They were there for them. They were there for what can I get out of this? How can I profit out of this? How can I get something from this, you know, thing that's going on over here? And you know, how many times are there people who come and they just take, 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 take? And the Lord says, not in my house. Am I in the right church? Somebody should say amen. Okay. Got real quiet. No, but there's a understanding here that not in my house. These things don't happen in my house. These things don't happen in my house. And then he brings it back to clarity to say, my house will be a house of prayer. And you know, I almost wonder if for some of us that's too simple. Like we like the hoopla. We like all the stuff. We like all the things. We like the busyness. And Jesus kind of leans in. And I think in some regards, he looks at our motives and he's all, yeah, but that's for you. That's for you. That's what you can get out of it. That's a little self-serving. And you know what? We're all at risk for this. So this isn't me talking to you. This is me talking to us, including me. Where the Lord leans in and he's finding out what is in my house. And is it about prayer? Is it about me? Is it about worship? In fact, Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, this is where Jesus was quoting from. He says, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Notice what Jesus says. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted. Their offerings and their sacrifices. Their offerings and their sacrifices. So what they brought cost them. And he said, those things that cost you, I'll accept it. And I think sometimes we want to bring things that don't even cost anything. And you say, well, I give them my time. Okay. But I think that's a little bit of a cop-out. What costs you, and I'm not talking about fiscal or financial things necessarily, could include that, but so many times, what are the things that cost you? What are the things that interrupt you? What are the things that you need to die to, that just need to die? They just need to be gone. You just need to handle it. And here in scripture, it says that the burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. And then it says, for my house, for my house. In other words, those things lead to the place of prayer. If you remember last year at Rock Conference, the whole conference was on prayer. But you know what? That wasn't just some sort of seasonal thing like, oh, that was a neat season of the Rock. That was a focus on if we do anything, 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 we better be praying. Because if this isn't a house of prayer, what is it? A country club? you know, something to do before brunch or after brunch or before lunch or before your family gatherings. This is a house of prayer. This is a house of prayer. And I feel like some people here, you need that clarity. You need to re-clarify what this whole thing is about. This is a house of prayer. We come in reverent. We come in understanding that we're approaching a holy God. And what he's looking for are offerings and sacrifices, and he'll accept those so that this can be a house of prayer. But I don't think that the Lord's just talking about the physical church building. I think the Lord would also lean into your house. What's up in your house? Just turn to your neighbor and say, what's in the house? Go and ask him. What's in the house? What's in it? What's in your house? What's in your house? But also, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit too? Who is in you? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So not only is he talking about your physical house, he's talking about you. And if you haven't noticed, we are in days that feel very much like the end days. And in fact, I think we could go to scripture and look and say that scripturally, we could surmise that as well. When you see Israel at war, when you see Iran attacking Israel and them attacking them back, when you hear the nations of the earth figuring out how do we want to treat Israel, are we for them or against them? We're a hair's breadth away from what Jesus said. That's the sign. That's the signal. He said, watch the fig tree, which is Israel. And so when I see this original scripture talking about Jesus coming in, his first coming, that he beelines it for the temple to see what's going on in his church, that I believe that before he comes again, he is doing the same thing. So when I see all the interruptions across the body of Christ, not just in our country, but around the world, I don't think it's all the devil. I think the Lord himself is coming and flipping stuff. He's from New Jersey. He's flipping tables everywhere. And you know, the interesting part about in Luke 19, where it says that he began to drive out. He began to drive out, drive out, drive out. That's the same Greek word when he said that in my name, you'll cast out demons. Cast out is drive out. So it's not some sort of casual, like, you know, guys, you know, maybe you could close up shop and, you know, maybe don't come back tomorrow. You know, I kind of want my house to be a house of prayer. No, there's none of that kind of casual, like, hey, I want to make sure that y'all like me and that we're good. Are we good, man? Are we cool? I love you, man. No, there was none of that. He drove it out. And I believe that there are some things in our church. I think there are some things in your house. I think there are some things in your life that you have allowed to linger, and it's time to drive it out. Amen. Come on, it's time to drive it out. Amen. It's time to drive, it's time to stop tolerating it. It's time to stop flirting with it. It's time to stop texting it. It's time to stop pulling it up on that app. It's time to drive it all the way out. In the Old Testament, when God had promised the children of Israel the promised land, and he sent them into the promised land, he gave them instructions. He said, make sure you drive out all the inhabitants of the land. And he warned them time after time after time. He said, if you don't drive them all the way out, they will snare you. They will snare you. They will come back and you will regret it. It may not be the first generation. It may not be the second generation. You may not see it for a few years. But if you don't get rid of that thing all the way, you will come back. It'll bite you. It'll bite you. And guess what? It happened time after time after time again. And the Lord would reference it. He said it's because they didn't drive them all the way out. And he would correct them, and he would try to get them, give them another shot to drive it all the way out. Well, do you think that in our New Testament age, that the Lord put all of that in the Old Testament, set that whole model so that we could just look back in history and be like, wow, I'm surprised they didn't drive it all the way out? Or do you think that maybe he's communicating the same thing to his church today, saying that you let some demons stay and it's time to drive it all the way out, all the way out. Drive that addiction all the way out. Drive that demonic spirit of dissension and disagreement and divorce. Drive it all the way out of your house. Come on, somebody. And sometimes we don't have this confrontation, or we don't allow it, or sometimes we hide from it. And Jesus had no problem coming in and being like, if that's in my house, it's got to go. And some of us, we need to take responsibility for our literal house. And if there are things inside your house that you know, this does not represent the kingdom of God. This does not make our house a house of prayer. This does not make our house holy. Then some of you need to go back home and you need to get a big old black trash bag and you need to start throwing stuff into the trash bag. No one wants to say amen, but I know I'm preaching the truth because I've lived it long enough that there are some stuff that just need to go in a black trash bag and they need to go to the dumpster or they need to go to the fire or they need to go somewhere else, but they cannot be in my house. They got to get out of the house. They got to get out of the house. Go ahead and tell your neighbor they got to get out of the house. They got to get out of the house. They got to get out of the house. Out, 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 out. You got to go out, out, out. And some of these things, they may not be physical, but they're spiritual. You say, I can't sleep right. I don't have any peace. Ever since I moved into this house, there's been sickness and disease and dissension and discord. Well, drive it out. Jesus said that all authority has been given to me. And then he turns around and says, in my name, you will. So some of us need to stop functioning in our authority and stop just sitting around and being like, I wonder why I can't sleep in this house. Well, drive it out. Drive out chaos. Drive out all of that fear, drive out all of that anxiety, drive it all the way out. For the sake of your children, for the sake of your marriage, for the sake of you, for the sake of your neighborhood, drive it out. This is the model. I mean, I could go scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture where it is clear that our command, he's asking us to come in and drive it out. In fact, let me just look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. This is Paul teaching his spiritual son, Timothy. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Listen, some for honor and some for dishonor. In a great house, there are both in great houses. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from what? From dishonor. If anyone cleanses himself, listen to me. If you cleanse yourself, this isn't just about, Lord, have your way, do it, your work. Some of it is, no, you cleanse it. You start moving. You start acting. You start obeying. You cleanse yourself. From the latter, the person who cleansed himself, will be a vessel for honor. They will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and listen, useful for the master. Useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So what's happening here? Paul is giving his spiritual son, Timothy, this instruction, but he's teaching Timothy because Timothy was a teacher. So these are things that need to be passed along. And he's saying that some of us are not useful yet. And sometimes we get a little maybe deceived, or maybe we just don't see clearly. And you wonder why I'm not being used in the kingdom. Why is this not working out for me? These dots just don't connect. I want to do a house church, but it's just not coming together. Well, maybe you're not useful yet. No one wants to say amen to that. No. But maybe you haven't cleansed. Certainly the Lord is gracious and merciful, but he's gracious and merciful to tell you to get it clean. Clean it up. Anybody ever had someone to your house and you clean the house? Right? It's like a mad dash, the 15 minutes before they're there. You're like mopping the floors. But what else are you doing? You're throwing everything that was in the living room in the closet. And so it's like, as long as you don't open that closet door, our house is clean. Our house is beautiful. You would know. I mean, this is our house. We have the three kids. We used to have a dog. We just got rid of him. But we had sorry for all the dog lovers, but he had to go. We had to drive it out. Okay, anyways, I had to. That's a word for somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, poor Charlie. He had to go. No, but it isn't amazing that our idea of clean, even in our own house, is just let's throw it into the closet. But does that mean your house is clean? No. And don't you know that the Lord Jesus himself knows every closet in your heart? So in the outward, it's clean. We all see your life, it looks good. You look like you got it all together. But what we can't see is that closet door to your heart that's shut tight because you designed it that way, But guess what? Jesus himself, he knows, oh, no, no, you need to clean that part. If you want to be cleansed, if you want to be clean, clean that part out. Clean out under the bed. Clean out upstairs. Dear Lord, our house is beautiful downstairs. You go upstairs, mercy. Well, the Lord goes upstairs too. Useful for the master. I really feel like even in today of this message, some of you, you're going to get activated into the ministry because you're finally going to be useful. And you're going to have clarity to know that this message, sometimes it's like, live whatever way you want to. Jesus loves you. He can use any of us. There's error in that message. It sounds right. It sounds good. It sounds like it appeases those compromised parts of our heart. But Scripture does not allow us for that. Scripture says there are certain things that if you want to be honorable, you got to clean it up. You got to clean it up. In fact, it gives some examples. Let's look at verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Flee also youthful lusts. There are some things where as a child and as a youth, you just want. That's not all just sexual. That's just you're never satisfied. You're just always trying to get the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Flee that. If you want to be a vessel of honor, flee it. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, this is going to get some of y'all, so just buckle up. But avoid foolish and ignorant social media posts. I mean, disputes. Knowing that they generate strife. Who's he talking to? If you want to be useful for the master, sometimes that means shut your mouth. Lock your phone. Delete that app. You say, well, I'm in America and I get to say whatever I want. Well, if you're honorable, you'll allow him to tell you what to say. And when he speaks, there's a kindness and a gentleness and a love about it. And though in a couple of scriptures here, we'll see that it doesn't mean that he doesn't correct, but how he corrects is very different. But seriously, he says part of this being honorable, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And some of us, we're not useful yet because we're full of strife. We have allowed strife in with our words. We've allowed strife with our conversations. We talk about our bosses and we talk about our family members and we talk about one another. And yet there's strife and contention. And then you wonder, why doesn't God use me? Because you're not useful yet. You got to clean that up. You got to drive it all the way out. Some of us, that's the way you were taught. Your grandma talked that way. Your mom talked that way. Your sister talks that way. So you think you can talk that way. And this is the thing where you're going to say, but I'm not going to talk that way because I want to be useful for the master. So I have to drive that contentious spirit all the way out of this house in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Drive it all the way out. Say, I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to facilitate it. I'm not going to answer the phone calls anymore. If you have something to say about so-and-so, call them. Amen. Come on, that's just a good place to clap your hands and praise the Lord. And listen, verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. To who? To all. Didn't say to whoever votes for the same party as you. Oh no, only this side laughed. So maybe, let's see, right, left. No, I'm just kidding. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, must not. Listen to scripture, okay? This is not Thai. This is not what we preach on the East Coast. This is Bible. This is Bible. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Let's have that conversation in the church. Part of driving it out of the church is you might not quarrel in here, but what are you saying out in the courtyard? I don't know why pastor said that. I can't believe they sang that song today. I can't believe service went 2 hours long. I can't believe that, blah, 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 you know, all the things. Or maybe it's not even about something in here. Maybe it's another brother or sister in the Lord. Drive that out. Time to get rid of it. Time to get rid of it. No more of that. Because a servant of the Lord, we don't do that. In my church, they make fun of me because a lot of times I'll just tell people like, we don't do that here. That's that kingdom. In this kingdom, we don't do that. We don't quarrel. We don't backbite. We don't gossip. When we need to handle something, we do it in a godly, very wonderful way that scripture lays out. And we do it right. Why? Because we're servants of the Lord. We're not trying to feed it to ourselves or trying to bolster something with us. It's just when I read the scripture, I know what it's talking about. A servant of the Lord, I can't quarrel. I have to be gentle. And I haven't always nailed that. So what do you do when you don't nail it? You repent and you come back and you apologize and you make it right. Gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Well, I want to just look into this. So in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Opposition to what? Even the things that he just taught. So sometimes we overly look at that, say opposition, like they're not Christians yet. No, this isn't within the body of Christ. Right, they're the ones who say, I want to be able to say whatever I want to. Well, now you're not, you may be being captive by the devil to do his will. And I don't know about you, I don't want that. Anybody here say, man, I came to church today because I want to be taken advantage of by the devil and do his will. No, nobody. And if you did, let's pray right after service for deliverance. We know what to do with that too, all right? No, we have to address these things to say, no, brother, sister, I love you enough to say, we're not doing that here. We're driving that out. We're driving that out. We're driving that out all the way. And I just have noticed even in my own life that the Lord will sometimes yank my chain and tell me that's not for you. A couple years ago serving within the role that I do with Foursquare, there's a lot of change, a lot of turmoil. And I found myself getting frustrated and irritable. And then I would get in conversations and I'd allow my mouth to go, wah, 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 wah. Anybody ever allowed your mouth to get ahead of your spirit? You know what I'm saying? You're all talking smack, and then later on you're like, uh-oh, overshared. You know, but out of the heart, you know, I was wrestling with these things in my heart, and so whoop, out of my mouth they came. And I felt like after one conversation, I got by myself, and the Lord said, that's not for you. I mean, it was strong. It wasn't like, hey, buddy. No, it was none of that. No, the Lord, what was he doing? Driving out that compromised thing that could really cost me if I don't address it. He was concerned with me. Are you the one, Ty, who's causing foolish and ignorant disputes, stirring up strife? And I just felt like the Lord yanked my chain and said, that's not for you. And so guess what I had to do? I had to repent to the Lord. I had to go back to those people I had the conversation with, repent to them. And then I had to go to my leaders and I had to repent to them. So I had to go back up the chain and get it right. Because why? I don't want to be in this category where I've been taken captive to do his will. Just a couple years ago, we were in Maryland and there was this one couple and they had they were being tormented by spirits. They couldn't sleep. They had all kinds of physical issues. They were having visions of snakes and dragons in their home. So they said, Pastor, can you come over to the house? Can you pray with us? You know, we don't know what's happening. So I get to the house. And I said, you know, ask them permission. Can I just walk around and pray and let's just see what happens? So we walk around, we're praying, and we get to this one room, and it's a game room, a whole bedroom dedicated to games. So I go into the game room. I'm not talking about video games. I'm talking about board games, card games. I go into the room, and there's stacks and shelves of games, and I go in, and guess what I saw on the games? Snakes and dragons and all kinds of demonic things, and their whole house is full. Guess what? These are Christians. One of these guys went to Bible college, sat in church service just like you. And so they're being tormented. They're having all this stuff. And I get to their house and I'm like, well, I think I know where all this stuff is coming from. And so I asked for permission. I said, hey, can I put out on this card table, you know, all the things that I think you might want to consider getting rid of, because they bought it. So I couldn't just come in and be like, let me take it, because it was not mine. It's theirs. And even spiritually, they need to break agreement. They need to make a decision that I will no longer entertain. I will no longer be in agreement. I will no longer be into contract with any of these things. So I asked them permission. Can I just put stuff on the table for you to consider whether you should have that in your home, considering the fact that you told me you can't sleep, your body's in turmoil, and you're being tormented? So, you know, I'm basically putting it back in their court, saying, I'll put it there in front of you, but you have to drive it out. So I put it out on the table, and we left, and I never had them circle back to tell me, hey, we got rid of this stuff, we did that, because they had bought it, they spent so much money, it stayed. Well, not too long ago, I got word that the same family, the husband transitioned to be a woman, still married to the same lady, and makes the kids call him mom. And I know that I know that I know they had an opportunity that day to drive out things that they would never have connected the dots. They probably would not have known that this stuff that we're allowing into our house absolutely is driving you towards the demonic. So God is gracious. He's merciful. He gives you opportunities. He highlights things. He does what he's even doing this morning to tell you that thing, you need it out of your house. Because if you allow it to stay, it will ensnare you and it'll cost you much more than you ever imagined. It'll destroy much more than you ever could have thought. And eventually it'll lead you all the way to destruction. The Bible warns of it. Jesus warned of it. And yet he's here today and he's saying, hey, I'm giving you another shot to drive that thing all the way out of your house. Some of you, it'll save your marriage. Some of you, it'll save your children. Some of you, it'll save your soul. So today I didn't come to just, you know, paint some sort of rosy picture of where God just allows us to live in la-la land without ever addressing the issues. No, he comes right up into your house. And if he sees stuff that's gonna affect you and cost you even your soul and your life, he will cause you and he will help you to disrupt it and flip it. And he will call you to drive it all the way out in Jesus' name. Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning. Now, it's not good enough to listen to a message and be like, I agree, and allow that junk to stay in your house. And not every of these things are physical. Some of them are spiritual. Some of you, you've allowed chaos to reign up in your house for too long, and you need to go to the house and you need to take some anointing oil and you need to go from doorpost to doorpost, not because there's magic in the oil, but you need to consecrate your house and say, my house will be used by the Lord. I will no longer allow the demonic. I will no longer allow strife. I will no longer allow infirmity. I claim this house for the Lord. I claim my children for the Lord. I claim my marriage for the Lord. I claim this apartment building for the Lord. I acclaim this neighborhood for the Lord. I claim Anaheim and Fullerton and Placentia and Brea and Irvine. And I claim it for the Lord, and we drive out every demon, every demonic spirit, every stronghold. Gotta go, out, 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 out. Come on, all over this room. Drive it out, drive it out, drive it out, drive it out, drive it out. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we repent for anything that we have entertained and flirted with, gone back to. Perversions, things that should not be in this kingdom, should not be in a house of prayer. We repent. But at the same time, we take authority, we take responsibility, and we say, no more. This is the last day you're in this house. You gotta get out, 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 get out. In the name of Jesus. Oh, out, 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 out. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, no more strife, no more strife, no more strife, no more strife, no more chaos. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Oh, it's gotta go. It's gotta go. It's gotta go in Jesus' name. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, demons are fleeing. Strongholds are coming down. Houses are getting cleaned up. The temple of the Holy Spirit is getting back to order. My house will be called a house of prayer. My house. My house. My house will be called a house of prayer. Yes, 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 yes. I remember early days, Pastor Kimberly would encourage us to walk around this property and pray and anoint things with oil and pray that even when people came on the property, diseases would be healed. So sometimes when I come back, I got my eyes open to say, who's praying? Who's walking the property every Sunday morning to say, this house belongs to God? This property belongs to Him. Who's walking through the kids' rooms and saying every child that comes through this room is going to be hearing from God, will have eyes to see Him? It's amazing how sometimes things creep back in and we get busy and we don't pay attention anymore. And Jesus has to come back and say, get that out, get that out, get that out, and replace it with the Holy Spirit. Some of us, even our own house, there may have been things you addressed a while ago, but He comes back around for an opportune time. And if you don't catch Him like a thief, He comes in the back door. And some of you, you're like, I didn't mean for Him to get in. That's not the point. The point, He's in. Get Him out. Get Him out. Get Him out. Drive Him all the way out. Even in our church in North Carolina, the two previous pastors before me were removed for toxic, terrible leadership. The way they treated people is awful. So when we came, guess what? I could not be ignorant that there was something of a stronghold in that community. And now I'm coming as a pastor. And if I don't have my eyes open and my ears open, I could be the next victim. So I have to come in and I have to pray against those things. So guess what? Every Sunday morning, these feet walk the whole property, 10 acres. I walk the whole property all the way around it. And I say, this house belongs to God. This is a house of prayer. This is a house of worship. This is a house of healing. This is a house of the word. And every corner of that property, I pray. You know why? Because He does circle back. And He'll try to find a way to take me out too. And so I have to be sober, vigilant. So when I'm talking this morning, this isn't some you ought to thing. This is I live it. I do it. And I sense, even in this time, that the Lord is looking in to see who else will do it. Who else will open their eyes and say, hey, maybe divorce has run through your family because no one has drawn a line in the sand and says, no more, no more. You say, well, you don't know what my spouse does. You don't know. We just fall out of love. No, that's a spirit, and you need to address the spirit and get that spirit up out of your bloodline in Jesus' name. Yes, 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 yes. This is how we win. This right here is how we win. We drive out demonic spirits. We don't tolerate them. We don't flirt with them. We don't question them. We don't have conversations with them. We drive them all the way out. Ministry leaders, pay attention to what was going on in the ministry before you. And if there were strongholds, make sure you address them, pray through them. If there were limitations that every time we got to that thing, we just came back down, address it. Pray it out. Drive it out in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Adriana, can you just lead us in this song one more time?
Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. Then gird up my legs that I might stand in this holy place. If I can just see your face.
So I'm going to take just a couple minutes to do this, but more out of obedience. And Pastor Jerry, if it's okay, I just have something to share with. I think it's mainly the staff, especially those who are younger. So if you're on staff here or a ministry leader and you're under 30, will you just come right here quickly? If you're at the Rock and you're on staff and a ministry leader, will you come just right down here? Will you join me too, Pastor? Pastor Kimberly, will you join me too? I just felt led to share something with y'all and almost like charge you as someone who was here in the very same seats as y'all. There are some things that you're enjoying the fruit of people who would walk this property in prayer. We would stand in the gap. We would stand in the corners and we would watch one another and we would be in prayer and we'd see demonic things going on and we'd just get on it like white on rice. We would intercede through it. We would pray through it. We did not get everything right. Lord knows we didn't get everything right. But I feel before the Lord a charge for you to take that up. The Lord's chosen you for this hour. He's placed you in position. We gone. Not all of us. Pastor Carl is still here. And there's many others. Yes. No, there are many others. But honestly, the baton's been passed in this local body. And so there's part of this message that I believe is for you. That when you see things in the church here, it's not up to just Pastor Kimberly and Carl and Ron and some of the elders to do. This is your turn. Drive it out. If you see strongholds, drive them out. If you see things in your own heart for the sake of yourself, for the ministry, for those who are behind you, drive it all the way out. And so if you'd allow me, we as a church, we're going to pray for you. In fact, would you, the congregation, stretch your hands towards them? This is a young, a beautiful group of young people. These are Timothys in the Lord. So Lord, I thank you for this beautiful, wonderful, called and equipped group of leaders. And Lord, we charge them today in Jesus' name to do this kind of work in the ministry. It's not all logistics. It's not all systems. It's not all administrative. Much of this is spiritual. And the Lord will open your eyes to see into the spirit of where this church continues to need prayer and breakthrough and discernment. So Lord, I pray that as they've been prayed for before, this is not the first time, but I just come again and we pray for them that a discerning spirit would come on them in Jesus' name. May their eyes be open to the spirit realm, that when they drive here, may they see what is it happening at the Anaheim campus. When they have responsibility that goes beyond here, may their eyes be open so that we can see breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough on every front. Lord, where they know even in their own hearts that things need to be driven out, I pray that you give them courage and boldness of the Holy Spirit, that they step into that same place that many of us vacated, that they would step into it fully with confidence and boldness that they're chosen for this hour, for such a time as this. So we release the Spirit of God for this time, for this place, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Jerry Dearman Podcast. And thank you to those of you who have partnered with Solid Lives to help get this message and others like it to thousands of people around the world. If you would like to partner with Solid Lives and the ministry of Jerry Dearman, visit solidlives.com/give. To find out more about the ministry of Solid Lives, how you can be a part of this church planting and disciple making movement, or for more great teachings and resources by Jerry, visit solidlives.com. We also want to invite you to join us on our daily podcast or on YouTube for the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dearman. Each day, Jerry reads through a chapter of the New Testament and gives us key insights and applications for our lives. What a great way to start your day as you journey with us through the New Testament as you never have before. Thank you again so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.